Okay, well, let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can meet once again. We ask, dear Lord, that you will bless the YEG time. We pray, dear Lord, that you will lead us and guide us. And may we have a time where we can just understand your word and how we can live our lives for you and to understand further how you work in our lives. We just want to pray that you will bless this time. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we're going to talk about some interesting things with reference to, if I can say, this idea of safety. Okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes. And we come across a few verses that talks about, sometimes things can go wrong. So in life, things do go wrong, and it will go wrong. But there are certain things that, it's called unfortunate events. Okay? So in verse chapter 10, and in verse 8, it says, "He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent." Okay, so there are times when a person during the time of Ecclesiastes, he will dig a pit, and so normally a hunter will do that to trap an animal. Sometimes they do it to trap people to protect their area, and during the process of doing that, and of course, this hunter is hunting for bigger animals like, a wild boar or a deer. And sometimes the very trap that they set for themselves, they fall into it. Okay? So it's called an unfortunate event. Sometimes these things can happen. So there's also a person who breaks through a wall. And while tearing down the wall, how often do you see a snake resting within a wall? How often do you see that? Right? You don't normally see a snake in between the wall. But it so happened to be that there's a snake that's in the wall. And as you are tearing it down, and how often do you tear down the wall? You seldom do that. But in the process of doing that, you are bitten by a snake. And so it's a very rare thing, and yet there's the possibility that a snake is hiding in the wall, and while you are tearing, they call this unlucky. sometimes they call it fate. The moment, so the wall is very big, but you can tear down at any part. But it so happened that as you are tearing down the wall at a particular point, your hand is there, and then the snake bites you. Right? So it becomes an unfortunate event. Okay? So this is called time and chance. Remember, we were talking about time and chance? Time and chance. It just so happened that you are there at that particular time, the snake is also there at a particular time, and at that point of time, the chance is there for the snake to bite you. So it's called time and chance. Okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 9, and in verse 11, it says, "I return and saw under the sun that race is not to the swift, nor battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill." So you can even be very skillful, but it so happened that you are at the wrong place at the wrong time. "And man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them." Right? So sometimes these things can happen. Unfortunate event. Right? Did anything bite you during your stay in La Grandia? You all got bitten by anything? bed bugs, nothing. Mosquito, yeah, okay, mosquito. Pastor Mark was telling me that the mosquito, there were so many, while he was, so the glass door was closed. Outside, he can see the mosquito trying to get in. There were so many mosquitoes, you can see the mosquito, tung, 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 from the outside. Can you imagine? So, I was returning to my room, I think on the second day, after everything was over, lunchtime. And I put my t-shirt on the chair. Okay? And I took the t-shirt, I pulled it. Next moment, I saw this black lizard that was on my t-shirt. And as I pulled it, it jumped. I almost wanted to scream, but I said, better not, everybody can hear me. So why this pastor is screaming? So you can see the lizard flying through the air, dropping down, and then go underneath the TV area there. I said, alamak. Now I got a companion for tonight. So I went to the guy who was looking after all the rooms. I said, hey, do you have spray? Can you go and spray? There's this huge lizard. He said, yeah, I'll go and do it. Then ever since then, I have not seen the fellow anymore. But time and chance, it so happened that the lizard was there and so on and so forth. Okay? So these are what we call unfortunate events. Sometimes these things can happen. Right? In life, we must expect that there will be unfortunate events. That's what he's trying to say here. Right? And there are things that can... Okay, now we go on to the next part. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them. Okay, so now it's at the workplace. These are called workplace accidents. Okay, so in some ways, when I was a safety officer in the Air Force, when I came across these verses, I say, wow, Solomon can talk about safety also, right? He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, right? So this is a work site, and there are times accidents can happen, right? In your working place, you do a lot of drudging, right? Do they have accidents? Yes. So do people die at times? Wow. Yeah, so it's a workplace accident, right? And they do happen along the way. When I was in the Air Force, I experienced, I've gone through 12 funerals. So many aircraft crashes. One particular one I remember, he was a president scholar. So last night, I met with some of my friends, formerly from RJ. They were schoolmates. During camp, one of them sent us an email, Pastor Mark and I, whether we would like to meet up together with someone who comes to our church. His name is Arthur, and then another guy. And we met up with them, and he was telling us about how there was this scholar by the name of Edmunds, President Scholar. And he was a pilot, and I was also a pilot at the same time. I went for his funeral, and he was flying a Super Puma early in the morning. And when you fly very low with the aircraft against a body of water, especially when the sun is rising, there's this phenomenon where it seems like as if you are higher than normal, but actually you're lower. So when you fly the aircraft, you're actually supposed to remember there's such a thing and you have to fly higher. But this guy, I think he forgot. And then he flew lower. And then as he turned the aircraft hit the water. Have you heard of Poyang Reservoir? So there's a reservoir in Singapore called Poyang Reservoir. You all have not heard of that. So there's this reservoir in some part of Singapore which you all are not supposed to go. Okay, like this Singapore, okay? Something like that. So There's a hockey. So there's this part here. Huh? Yeah, it's your work site, right? There's a hockey. There's a hockey stick, right? Yeah, yeah. Now the hockey stick is becoming like that already, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's your work, lah. Reclaiming. So this is a hockey stick. We used to land there. When I was flying years ago, we used to land there. Anyway, this part, tengah is here. Tengah is here. So there's this part here you all do not know about. Huh? No, NTU is around here. NTU. So there's this place called Safety Live Firing Area. And it's made up a lot of hills. And there's this reservoir. It's called Poyang Reservoir. Y'all don't know, huh? Anyway, these are secrets that I cannot tell you now that I have to kill you, all of you. No. They say after 10 years, you can reveal some of these secrets. Yeah, so there's this reservoir called Poyang Reservoir. And this reservoir, while this guy was flying a Super Puma, he banked too much, and basically the rotor blade hit the water, and the whole aircraft crashed. And he didn't die from the crash, he died from drowning. Because they couldn't get out. The doors were slammed, and then the chairs behind. So he could have gone out, but the chairs behind, all because the way they crashed, all the chairs blocked the entrance, okay, and they couldn't get out. So both of them, they drowned. Okay, President Scholar, I went for the funeral, and I saw my auntie and my cousins there. I was shocked. So apparently, it's my uncle, so the wife, you know, she was the godmother of this guy. And they all were crying. I said, why are you all here? And say, oh, this is God's son. And they were, it was quite a sad thing. The saddest thing in a funeral in the Air Force or any military thing is when they blow the bugle. Da, da, da. Oh, I tell you. And then they will fire the gun. Boom, boom. Very sad. And then the parents all will be crying. And all. Oh. I went for 12 funerals. Every one of them like that. Yeah. So, workplace accidents will happen. Recently, the Air Canada, you read the newspaper, Air Canada, they had a crash into this truck. And I can tell you, this accident, so the person to be blamed initially is the ATC controller, right? But let me tell you, very often, it is an accident because of the environment that they had to work with. So, yes, it is their fault, and yet because it was so stressed, previously, before that, they already had an emergency, and so they were trying, there were two of them only on the ATC, and they were trying to cover everything, and sometimes there are lapses. And these things can happen. Years ago, so I used to be in this place called Accident Prevention Branch in the Air Force. I read all kinds of accidents that have happened. Some very, very horrible ones, right? After that, I was a bit scared of flying, right? But there was one I saw the video where this ATC controller, he was so stressed. He was a victim of his work, of the environment that he worked in, you know? And one of the things that happened, one of the things that happened was that he was so stressed, he didn't see, he gave orders or instructions for the plane to fly at a certain flight level, and then he forgot that there was another one that's flying at the same flight level, and they both crashed. Yeah. And then he went to jail. So the lawyer who prosecuted him, okay, and he went to jail for, I think, 10 years or something. So the lawyer who prosecuted him decided to appeal for him after that case. Because he found out that actually it was unjust for him to be in prison for so long. So he actually appealed for him. He prosecuted him, and after that he appealed for him. And he told the court at the end that he was a victim of the workplace that he was in, the environment.
he won. He won the appeal.
And they lessened the sentence to 5 years, from 10 to 5 years. Right? So these things can happen. Accidents can happen. Safety lapses, and so on. Right? He who splits wood, verse 9, may be endangered by it. Okay, so there's workplace accident. There's also home accidents that can happen. Right? Splitting of wood is at home. Okay? So at home also, you can end up with accidents. Home chores like splitting wood can be dangerous and people can end up with accidents. Again, time and chance happen to all of us. Right? Okay, and then move on. Verse 10, if an axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. Now, this one is a person who's lazy, okay? He's supposed to sharpen his axe, but he doesn't want to. So he takes more strength to go and cut the wood. Okay? But then we come to this interesting phrase where it says, but wisdom brings success. Now, wisdom is applied. If you sharpen the axe, less strength is needed. You can achieve success faster. Right? If you set wise rules and guidelines at a workplace, at home, in all that you do, you can prevent problems and incidents. You can find solutions to issues that may come. And God willing, it will bring about success. Right? Now, I'm going to ask you all. Okay, so today we have birthday celebration. Right? So we have to finish about 2:35. Okay? So now, we're going to our groups. Now, I want you all to discuss two questions. First question is it enough? Is wisdom enough to bring about success? If I have just wisdom from God, is it enough to bring about success? That's the first question. Right, it says here, wisdom brings success. But is it enough? Okay? Second question is, what is success? How do you define success? What do you mean by success? Last night I met with my friends. They are so-called, in the world's term, successful people. Right? One of them is a managing director, a partner at a famous law firm. He has done very, very well. You know, he lives in a condo in Bukit Timah. He has two cars. He has two children who have done well. And, you know, in a few years' time, he's going to resign. So he has done very well in life, so-called, in Singapore. Another guy, he has done well also in terms of asset management. So he managed assets of rich, very, very, very highly rich families. Right? He has two or three families. That's it. He just managed their wealth and then he's having a good life. So these people are well off. Right? They stay in nice houses. They stay in nice places. Is that success? How do you define success? You see, it's very important for you all to define success. Because if you don't define it, you may be chasing after something that may not be truly what success is. Or you're in a process of doing something, but is that real success? Okay? Ken? So we go into our group. Sorry, Olivia. Just came in. A time where we're going to go. So basically, we're talking about, you know, the idea of misfortunes that can come. So how does that relate to success? Because misfortunes can come, right? Accidents can come. But yet, wisdom brings about success. How is it related? Okay, so two questions. One, is wisdom enough to bring about success? And if there's success, how do you define success? How do you see success in life? Okay, I'll give you 10 minutes. Then 10 minutes, okay? Don't think longer than that. 10 to 15. Okay, we try. And then I'll round it out. And about 1:30, 1:40, we go down. Okay? 2:40. 2:40, we'll go down. Okay? Before that, we better take the offering. Why don't we take offering now? Then we don't have to worry about that. Huh? Yeah. Why don't we take offering now? Yes. Yeah, why don't you take offering now? Then we can go into our groups. Can you all got the bags? Yeah. Why don't we take our offering and then don't have to worry about this later? Okay, well. And then, okay, then let's go to our groups once you have given the offering. And then we'll discuss for a while. And then, okay, another thing is next week, no YYG. Okay, next week, no YG. I'll see you all at Shangri-La. Okay, let's go to our groups. And then there's a bit of a discussion. Okay. Have you heard of Safi? Never heard, Ami, you never... Huh?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, that part of Singapore, is it? You know... Huh? You've been there, right? Sorry? Okay. You serve NS, lah. Do you serve NS? Yeah, okay. So you should know, lah. Right. What were you when you're doing NS? Intel. Okay, that's interesting. I think you know more than me. Okay. Well, how do you see is okay? First question is, maybe we define what success is. How do you see success? We just finished. But you feel contented. Okay, but is that? Because a lot of people have different way of seeing what contentment is. I mean, a person can, feisty or not even feisty. He's studying and say, I'm contented already. You understand? He's not even working, but I'm contented already. Right? So, how would you define? Huh? Yeah, maybe we want to define what is success? The whole thing. So fiscal blessings can also be part of our life. It doesn't mean that we cannot have fiscal blessings. So, right? But how do you see it? Yes, sure. So that's why we have to define what success. We have to objectively define what success is, because if you define it subjectively, everybody is different. Everybody can be defended. You can be contented with it. But what is a biblical way of looking at what success is? How do you see success? Ability to travel. Juggle. Okay. Ability to juggle. Meaning? Yeah. Yeah. Sure. So have a balanced life, lah. To have a balanced life in everything. Okay. So, what if you may have some success in life, but then misfortune happens, something happens along the way that is not good. Will you consider that success? So you can be contented for a while, But then something, misfortune happened or accident happened. Are you still successful? Ah, for yourself. Huh? What if the previous success is no longer there? Huh? Loss of what? Ah. Yeah. So is that success? No? Yes? Okay. Sure. Yeah. So how do you, okay, at the end of the day, how do you define what success really is? Yes. So, okay, that's the thing. There are stages to life, isn't it? Right? There are stages. You can achieve something, but that doesn't mean that there is... Yes, there are other stages of life. Right? And as you look at other stages of life, how would you, at the end of the day, see, okay, this is true success? Ah. That is also important. Because making it at a certain level doesn't mean that you have true success. Right? You can do well in school, you can do well in your working place, but is that true success? So one of the ways to look at this is we have to look at it from a biblical standpoint. And from a biblical standpoint, from the Bible, there's actually, there are many ways of looking at this idea of what true success is. I want to explain it in a while. How would you see true success? Who is the most successful person in the Bible? Okay, yeah. That one is different. That one is everything he does is successful. But an example of someone who is a... Okay, Job, you can say partly successful, but he is a very unique situation because he went through a lot of suffering. Right? Most people don't go through such suffering. So his is a very unique, and yet, yes, in some ways, he helped fund. But he was in a very, very unique way of looking at life. It's not something that most people will go through. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Paul, yeah, ministry. So in terms of ministry, yes, he was a very, very successful. Yeah, but most of us are not Paul. Right. Huh? Ah, Joseph. How? How is he successful? How would you define his, huh? Okay, partly he worked his way out, but actually... He didn't really work his way up. It was like big jump. It's not work his way up. It's like, wow. Because of his wisdom, he was straight away recognized as someone who had the wisdom to be able to lead the country. Right? And that was really interesting. Okay, anything you want to ask? Any questions you want to ask? Before I tell you what I'm going to tell you. Any question, Timothy? Sorry? Yes. Yeah. So I'll mention it so that everybody can learn. I mean, I'm just waiting for everybody to... Yeah, you can. You can look at it in certain ways. Yes. You know, objectively, how does God bless a person? And God can bless a person in a certain way. And you can see, it's called fullness of blessing. Okay? It's fullness of blessing. What you should look for is fullness of blessing. Because sometimes we only look at some blessing, But some blessing or some success is not fullness of success. You follow what I'm talking about? I'll explain in a while. Give them another 2-3 minutes. Right? So, the Bible explains to us there can be fullness of success. And fullness comes in a definite way. Both physically and spiritually. Right? And you can see, so that is something that we can see that is defined for us. But it doesn't mean that every one of us also should have that in terms of success. It's just that something for us to work with. And it also helps us to understand that very often, sometimes, we can have limited success. But limited success doesn't mean fullness of success. Sometimes people are happy with limited success. But actually, there can be fullness of success. You understand? You understand? Okay, we gotta. Okay, how would you? Is wisdom enough? Oh, I didn't ask you all the question. Is wisdom enough to gain success? Why? Is it enough or not enough? Okay, still?
We started off by answering the second question first.
Okay.
What is success?
What is success?
We didn't come to a conclusive answer because I think one is that the reality is that everyone thinks differently and everyone will define success differently.
So the world sees it as relative, right? And we also see it as relative.
Yeah. In their people's own personal conviction about what success is might be different, lah. Yep. That's one. But I think we kind of separated it into secular and spiritual. In the secular world, quite obviously, people are working towards things like housing, marriage, work. And then for spiritual, I think something we raised was a daily close walk with God. And also at the end of the day, once life is done, how we come before God and God will judge us for the things that He has put us accountable for. And if He has judged us to say that we are good and faithful, then that is what our goal is. Not so. I don't know if we think it's success, but that is our goal.
Sure.
Yeah. So that is what we think success is. Then is wisdom enough to bring success? No. We think it's only one aspect of it. If wisdom is not practiced, then there's... It doesn't bring about success. In short, that's our answer.
Yeah. Well, wisdom is one aspect of it because there are other things that you also need. You need faith. You need, trusting in God. And there are other things that you need. Okay. How? Similar to what has been said?
Similar. I think the definitions of success are also different for each person.
Yeah.
In some cases, I think the value of wisdom is very appreciated. So we do see that you do need wisdom to succeed.
Yeah.
But as you said, it's one aspect.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Anything else to add on to what she said?
For me, I think you said how do the misfortunes relate to success also, right? Yeah. I mean, as wisdom is one part of it, we also, and like you said, we have to expect that misfortunes or unfortunate things may happen.
Yeah.
That may maybe not cause you to fail, but limit your success in certain ways.
Yeah.
If you die young, then how much you can do is also limited.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that.
Yeah. And I think I want to carry on with what you just said. Limits, or rather, limited success. Right? How would I look at the idea of a successful man in terms of us as Christians? Now, can God also bless us with physical things? And my answer is yes. It doesn't mean that we have to be poor, I mean, we can live with being contented. And yet, does God bless when we live for the Lord? Does God give us wisdom to excel in life? My answer is yes. It doesn't mean that we all have to be poor. We can also be blessed and have more, right? A nice car, a nice place to stay, and so on and so forth. So it doesn't mean that we cannot have physical blessings in life. Part of being successful is also having physical blessings. That's not wrong to have. It's just that we don't love it. We don't love the things of the world. If God gives to you, great. That's also part of success, right? But one of the things that we want to consider is called limited success, right? In all the things we go through, when we have achieved something, yes, it's good to be contented. And yet, there are times when it's still limited success, right? Like, for example, Joseph. Now, Joseph was successful wherever he went. Correct? Okay, let's turn to Genesis. Genesis 39. So in Genesis 39, when he was in Potiphar's house, he was considered a successful man. 39 and verse officer, he brought him to Potiphar's house. The Lord was with him and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master. He, you know, he saw the master, the Lord was with him. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Right. So he began, and his master was successful because of him. Okay? And he did well, and the Lord was with him. He trusted in the Lord. Okay? So there is applying wisdom, facing this thing called time and chance, and still trusting the Lord, right? What is his time and chance? What was the unfortunate thing that happened to him? Potiphar's wife, okay? Time and chance. Now, he was successful, and yet, out of the blues, even though he was walking righteously with God, out of the blues, there's this woman who came and created big problem for him. Right? During camp, in my group, when we were talking about wife submit to the husband and husband honor the wife, I tell you, the discussion was the whole group became alive, 50 of them. I disagree. So halfway through, I came up with a joke. I said, you know, they say that marriage are made in heaven. So is thunder, lightning, and hail. They also come from heaven. Okay, never mind. Y'all don't understand, y'all are married yet. Okay, anyway. You don't understand? You understand or not? Okay, never mind. When you get married, you experience a few years, one day you'll laugh at this joke. Okay, anyway, coming back to my point. So, here is a woman, and time and chance, she creates problem for him. Right? And he goes to jail. Now, that is called limited success. It's not fullness of success yet. This is called limited success. Right? So for Joseph, at this point of time, it's called limited success. Some people, they feel that, oh, you know what? I'm already successful. The word successful is used for him. And yet, it is limited success because time and chance problems are still there. So you can be successful wherever you are, and yet you still have to go through life. You still have to experience sometimes certain things that are unfortunate. So you define this as limited success. Okay? Now, later on, when he becomes the Pharaoh right-hand man. Okay. So, how would I define what real success is? Real success is when you have fullness of success. Okay? It's called, for him, when he became the Pharaoh's right hand, Genesis 41, when he employed wisdom, interpreting the dream of the baker and the butler correctly, trusting the Lord during the silent years. There were quite a few silent years where nothing was happening. He was still in jail, right? And then employing greater wisdom when he had a chance, when he was able to. And so this is in Genesis 41. When he was able to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh. And then, wow, he came up with an excellent plan to save the grain during the plentiful years and to provide food during the famine years. Okay? That was one. Do you know the story? Then? No, okay. You go back and read. And then Pharaoh's evaluation of Joseph. Okay, let's turn to Genesis. And his evaluation when he heard what Pharaoh said. And this is verse 37. And so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to all his servants, can we find such a one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God? Right? Even the Pharaoh can recognize that the Spirit of God was in him. Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning, as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne, I will be greater. Right. So in other words, he became DPM. He became the second, the Pharaoh's right-hand man. I call this the greatest promotion in history. From prisoner to DPM. Wow, what a promotion, right? And it was amazing. And he became a successful man. He was wise. He governed the land with much wisdom. Now, this is fullness of success. So how would I define success? How would I truly define what success is? I will not call limited success truly success. I would consider fullness of success. You notice after this, he got married, he had two children. What is the definition of a good Singaporean family in Singapore? Is a family with three C's. What are three? Condo? Country club, membership, and car. Okay, during my time, it's credit card, add credit card, and cash. So five things, right? So, a lot of families, they have two children, right? So he had two children. He went on to be successful. The wisdom that God gave him, there were no more unfortunate things that happened. And this is what we call fullness of success. Right? So there are times when we are successful, don't rest on your laurels. How would I define, because sometimes things can still happen, problems can still come. Look for fullness of success. Look for this state. Wisdom brings about success. And he grew in wisdom, he became wise and discerning, and so on. Okay, any questions you want to ask? Anybody concerning? Do you understand? Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask about this? Yeah.
So is another definition of success. Because like you were saying, after Joseph took over, after he became DPM, there were no more like unfortunate.
Well, in his life, lah.
Yeah. So is success the absence of misfortune and?
Well, partly yes, partly no, partly yes. Right.
So is it possible to experience the fullness of success while we are still human? Because as long as we are human, the possibility of misfortune and unfortunate events is there.
Then they will come in one way or another, but somehow God gave him success. I mean, he went through so much testing, right? And he went through, what, 16 years? I think it was 16, 17 when he was thrown into prison, right? And then he stayed in prison for until he was 30. So 16 years, I mean, you're going through 16 years of suffering. Would God still allow him to go through some more? No, right? He has gone through his fair share of challenges in life. Can you see? And when you look at his life, God specially preserved him. God blessed him. Same. Look at Job. He went through a really, really horrible situation where everything was gone. His wealth, all his children, everything was stripped from him. But after that, right, when he repented, God blessed him double of everything that he had. And there were no more suffering. At least not recorded. So does God bring about difficulties? Yes. And there are times when, you know what, it's still, you know, maybe it's a time for us to learn, to grow, to be wiser. So it's limited success. But finally, can there be fullness of success? My answer is yes. Can you see? That's how I would define. Sure. Not all of us are going to stay in Bukit Timah, right? Not all of us are going to have a big house. And yet, God can still bless. Has God blessed my life? Yes. Have I more than enough? Yes. Can you see? Has God blessed every one of us in church who have been here serving the Lord, being faithful? Yes. So it's not just spiritual, okay? On one hand, yes, it's spiritual and it's important. And yet, don't discount physical blessings too. You work hard, you do well, you're wise in discerning, you get promoted. That's also part of God's blessing. You look at, you know, people in our church. Look at your parents. Look at the 73 batch. Cheng Ki, Chung Han, Bi Cheng. You know, all of them have done well in wherever they are. And they've been blessed. So it doesn't mean that we cannot have good things in life. Okay? You can be contented. Yes, that's up to you. At the end of the day. But then again, physical blessing is also from the Lord. And he's also very spiritual, right? He's very wise. The Lord is with him. He's spiritually blessed. So both physical and spiritual blessing. And then, you know, with wealth, with all that he had, there's no suffering. There's no sorrow. Part of the blessing of God is that when we are blessed by God, physically, there is no sorrow. For a lot of the people, maybe, they are non-believers. They have wealth, but they actually have a lot of sorrow. Can you see that? So all my friends, last night, all their hair is white. So they are very stressed. You know? And so on. Okay, do you have any questions you can ask? We've got to go down soon. Any questions? Grace? Yep.
Hello, testing. I was just wonder, like, can I see success, or when you say the fullness of success, as like a achievement, or how would I say it? It's like, how do we see beyond that? Like, let's say, okay, if one day we really reach the fullness of success, how do we still progress from there? Is that afterwards, or is it like the
no end? You can always progress spiritually.
Okay.
Right? You can always progress spiritually. No matter what, we'll never be like the Lord Jesus. What is beyond perfecting holiness? Next year, Cam, you'll find out. There is a beyond. There's something more. And Pastor will most probably hopefully he will talk about it. I have a guess, lah, but I won't tell you all. Maybe my guess will be wrong. But we can. Spiritually, yes. But once we are, you know, the Lord has blessed us with much, what more do you want? So your heart, so the most important thing is that it's your heart. Right? Of course, at the end of the day, we don't love the things of this world. God can bless, but we don't need to hold on to all the things of this world. We can enjoy them and yet not focus on them. We can be sojourners and pilgrims on this earth. Right? Okay, does that answer your question? Quick one, then we got to go down, right?
Pastor Mitch, when we try to find this fullness of success, right, is there a danger of getting distracted from the Lord himself? Like, when you try to find, like you said, that enjoying the things of the world.
So that's why, at the end of the day, look at how Joseph did it. Joseph put the Lord first. He walked with God. He set his heart on God first. He put God first. The rest followed. Right?
So don't focus on the...
So you don't focus on the physical part. You set your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added to you. Can all these things be added to you? Yes. Added means more, added in everything in life. And basically they are what? They are all physical things. You seek first the kingdom of God, God will add. Clothes, food, whatever. You understand? So does God bless physically? Yes, he does. That's part of life. You look at the Jews today. The Jews are all the very rich people in the world. Why? Because they are God's people and God continues to bless them. With wisdom, with understanding. That has been set in motion years and years ago. Okay, so don't discount it. You don't need to focus on it. And yet, when it comes, you can be thankful for it. Okay? Ken? Yeah, I think that sums up everything. Okay, we gotta go. Let's pray and then let's go down. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and ask and thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that we can have from the scriptures, that how you can bless us both physically and spiritually. We pray, dear Father, that you will also give us the wisdom to know how to apply this lesson, not just be contented with limited success, but to be able, Lord, to know that you want to give us fullness of success in life, whether it's physical or spiritual. And we pray that you will grant us wisdom, help us to understand that life will be filled with unfortunate things. Let us be prepared for that, and to be able to trust in you at all times. And we pray that you will bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.